Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to it,
welcome to Strange Surrounding Secret Universe. I got a great show tonight. Talking about chemtrails, HARP, full spectrum dominance of our planet Earth. Alana Friedman, let's bring her on. Good evening, Alana.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm glad you could join. It's a very important topic. It's been going on for a long time, but there's a lot of people that still is not aware of it. Please tell us a little bit about what you do. Or what your topic is, Alana?
Well, I wrote a book that came out about a year ago in June called Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And it's published by Ferrell House. It's had a real strong reaction. I think that it is an important book primarily because it paints the big picture around chemtrails and HARP technology and clarifies how manifold and how many agendas it is hiding for the regular reader. And I've already begun the next book, which is the sequel on the next phase of this technology that the military calls the Space Fence.
Now, Alana, what do you think that what's behind the weather that the government wants to keep so hidden from the public?
Well, there are a lot of things behind the weather. One thing is it's been for about 16 years now, it's been experimentation with manipulating the weather, engineering weather systems. Certainly what they need is they need a weather system to arise naturally, though now I'm not sure what naturally means, given that this has been going on long and we all breathe one atmosphere. So the weather has been a wet dream of the military for centuries. Weather has been their nemesis in many battlefields, and I'm sure many generals have wished they could control the weather. So now the technology has arisen by which they can control the weather, and not just control it for typical battlefields, but actually control it for a variety of agendas. And one of them that many people don't think of is that we are now deeply, ever since 2008, when we fell into this so-called recession, we have been subject to disaster capitalism. And Naomi Klein, a graduate of Yale University, wrote a book several years ago called The Shock Doctrine. And in it, she spells out what disaster capitalism really is. So since we have gone so deep into the trillions in debt, mostly to China, we have now a way that capital-rich capitalists in America and other, and perhaps in Europe as well, can make a lot of money through disaster, and that would be weather derivatives. And I believe that we saw that in Hurricane Katrina. We saw it in Hurricane Sandy.
I was going to mention that did did HARP have anything to do with the hurricanes, like such as Katrina? That was going to be my next question.
Yes, it did. However, before I explain how HARP worked with the chemtrails, because when I first started this research years ago, I didn't realize I had files on chemtrails and I had files on HARP ever since Nick Begich and Gene Manning wrote Angels Don't Play This HARP in 1995. I read it in 1996. I didn't realize they worked together. In fact, they have to work together. And HARP now, as the rumor has proven to be true, in 2012 it was said by the military or DARPA that HARP was being shut down. And a lot of people think that, like many of our government lies, that was a lie. But the truth is it really was shut down. It's the high-frequency active aurora research project in Gakona, Alaska, the largest phased array weapon in the world at that time. It has been shut down, and yet it is not being dismantled by any means. It is being retooled to be a directed energy weapon. And I think if you want an idea of what it could do, you have to read Dr. Judy Wood's book on what happened really on 9/11 in order to understand the power in that one weapon installation. Now what we have is a much more manageable global system of ionospheric heaters, phased arrays, coupled with cell towers, Gwen towers, NEXRADs, SBXs, radar installations at the over 1,400 military installations we have around the world. In other words, it has become a global system. And so when the weather is being manipulated, usually in the South Pacific, where the moisture comes in naturally, and then the U.S. Navy begins their black magic with their instruments, they can then send that weather, bypass California, where they desperately need moisture after over 4 years of drought. They bypass it, merge it, that moist air, with the jet stream over Vancouver Island up here in the Pacific Northwest where I am, and then start sending it east and south for the various weather events that you no doubt know about. Recently it's been tornadoes, right along Tornado Alley. I know in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, or send it along the New Madrid fault line and produce weather along there, floods, you name it. And all of this up till now has actually been experimental. But this is the year that this will be nailed down and legitimized during the Paris conference in December 2015, when I believe this UN conference will rubber stamp it and lay out how this weather engineering, otherwise known as geoengineering, or solar radiation management, SRM, will be used by the globalists to muscle nations to obey a global governance.
That would make perfect sense too, Lon, because if you're constantly getting pounded by heavy storms and just a lot of weather activity, you would succumb over time.
You would, and it would be a way to make money, too. You devastate an area, then you bring in the construction giants like Halliburton, Dick Cheney's favorite, you're meanwhile betting weather derivatives on Wall Street, whereby you can bet that it's going to produce devastation, or you can bet against it, but you'll still be covered. I mean, it's a perfect derivatives are a perfect roadway to profits for the capital-rich capitalists who are dedicated to disaster capitalism.
Now, is there a connection between HARP and getting these chemtrails, do they put particles in the air? Now, I know there's a lot of people that, you know, that chemtrails don't exist. So for my listeners at home that's not familiar, please, from your expertise and research, what have you found that's in chemtrails and what's linked with that?
Well, I mean, now it's almost passé now that we know more about a particular kind of engine. I'm going to draw it up on my computer here so I can say the right name. It was an argument for over a decade. Is it a chemtrail or is it a contrail? A condensation trail or a contrail is certainly water vapor that comes out the jet engine at altitude in which the moisture level, the humidity level, is at a certain level. And now we realize that that's really not even an issue. And the reason I say that is if you look up the high bypass turbofan jet engine, and I know that's a mouthful, so I'll repeat it, high bypass turbofan jet engine. There's a really great little video on it, or you can read it in text, and you will learn that whenever it, almost in all cases except for military jet fighters, which travel at a very high altitude, any jet you see with some sort of trail behind it, whether that trail lasts for 13 to 30 seconds or lasts for a long time and sort of spreads out into a thin cirrus cloud cover, both of those are emitting chemicals. Now, Jim Lee at climateviewer.com has done a great deal of research to prove that the JP-8 fuel that is used now commercially and by the big military tankers is always has had chemicals added to the fuel, so that when you're seeing some sort of trail coming out of those, and usually the trails will not last that long, or some can have a chemical composition that makes them last longer so that they do spread fan out into a cloud cover. That's half of the chemtrail story right there, is they're using the fuel. So there is no real condensation trail of just water vapor that is happening anymore, unless you see a small military fighter like a Growler jet that we have up here in the Northwest. So that if you go and just check out that high bypass turbofan jet engine, it will explain visually to you why that is so. So I don't even talk about that anymore. When I look up in the sky and I see any type of a trail coming out of a jet, and of course I'm more interested in the ones that have the trails that last for up to half an hour as they spread out, I know that I'm looking at chemicals. And yes, yeah. Sometimes when you see clouds above, it takes some time to learn, gee, am I looking at a real cloud or am I looking at a chemical cloud? And now I'm pretty good at that because I've been looking up there for quite a while and comparing stories with people and looking at their YouTubes. And there's some amazingly good observers among our people who are not paying any attention to the lies and the subterfuge being told to us by various climate change PhDs at conferences, because all of them seem to be under some sort of leverage of fear. Fear of losing their careers, perhaps they've even been threatened. I don't know, but I know that many people now, and it seems to be really taking off right now. Many people understand that we are under a chemical warfare assault, and there is no other polite way to put it. This is chemical assault because you're right. The particulates in the whether it's coming by fuel or coming out of ducts on the wings from actual chemical tanks inside the jet, we are being barraged by chemicals laden with heavy metals, and these are conductive, and they're so tiny, the particles are nano-sized. They're less than 1 micron wide. So we're breathing these in right now as I speak, because those chemical particulates, they are highly conductive, and that's the other part of the HAARP technology, as we still like to call it. I'm more and more calling it ionospheric heater technology. They can be hit with radio frequency, those particulates, so that our atmosphere is constantly electrified, ionized. It's a plasma atmosphere, plasma being the fourth state of matter. We are not breathing the same atmosphere we were breathing 20 years ago. No question about it. And we're inhaling these particulates. This is playing havoc on our immune systems. There are also other things riding down on those chemtrails. Many, many polymers are in the chemtrails, and the polymers are sort of a tiny delivery system for a variety of things, including fungi that is actually dispersed in the upper atmosphere and comes down on those particulates into the lower atmosphere that we breathe. There's also polymers that are carrying biologicals down here, and we're sucking those in and ingesting them in GMO foods. These things are, to me, biological and chemical warfare experimentation in an open field test. I don't think humanity has ever gone through this before. And when will they admit it? Just like the Manhattan Project, they had denied it and denied it and denied it. This is considered the second Manhattan Project, and my guess is they will not admit it for at least 20 to 30 more years.
After the damage has already been done slowly, and it's kind of like Monsanto with the stuff in the apple juice and stuff like that. It slowly kills you over time. And I've seen, maybe it might be a year ago, so they launched this rocket somewhere on the East Coast. They launched it in the sky, and it was contained lithium or some kind of psychotropic drug. Now, I was going to ask you, too, do you think there's a connection of them putting some kind of mood,
mood-altering.
Mood-altering substance in the chemtrails.
Yes, and I think that the other part that we need to understand, and this is where I appeal to the common people, that we can't wait for the PhDs in plasma physics, electromagnetics, astrophysics. We can't wait for them to get brave and speak up. We have to study this on our own, understand that by having an ionized atmosphere, what you're talking about is a battery-ready atmosphere. And what is that for? That is for what the military calls C4. And that stands for Command, Control, Communications, and Cyber Warfare. So what they want is They don't care about us. We're sort of we're just sort of collateral damage, which, by the way, makes big pharma, the medical industry, rich. And all of our disaster, our weather disasters, make real estate deals cheaper than dirt, so that poor people are shoved out, as they were down in New Orleans and at the ports of New York and New Jersey during Sandy. This is the way it's being set up. So when they're subjecting us to this technology, they're also interested in documenting our reactions and our responses. It's sort of like Fukushima. That's another one that I'll lay at the door of HAARP. HAARP was fired up 3 days in advance before that terrible maneuver. 66 years exactly since we had dropped two atomic bombs on Japan after they had attempted to surrender three times. So that radiation released into the atmosphere and coming east over the Pacific Northwest, southern Canada, northern United States, that radiation is part of this mix. And believe it or not, these people, if I can even call them people anymore, what they want to see is what the synergistic effect, and synergy simply means syn is, S-Y-N is together, and energistic, that's energy. How do the energies of this chemical warfare that we're being subjected to, including radiation, how do we respond? How do we react? Will our children evolve quickly in order to counter these impacts of chemicals and biologicals? So this is primary in their minds. A lot of people think that this has to do with eugenics, wiping out populations, getting the population of the Earth down to a more reasonable level. That could very well be, because when you're talking about the people who organize this, yes, you're talking about Council on Foreign Relations, you're talking about the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, and now we're going to have a few more isms coming up with the TPPA, Agenda 21, et cetera. Yes, it's possible that that will be on the front burner at some point soon. But right now, for the last 16 years, in my estimation, in my book, this is the way I look at it, they have been experimenting with seven basic operations. And if it would be all right with you, I'd like to read those.
And
I'm looking in my notes so I can just do all of them at once. These are from Clifford Carnicom, who, as you know, was the independent scientist who has done the lion's share of research into the Morgellons disease, which Clifford has determined one of its primary delivery systems is chemtrails. And he has renamed the Morgellons creature, which was genetically engineered, he has renamed it the cross-domain bacteria. And I spend all of Chapter 8 on it so that people can understand this is definitely one of the agendas. Everybody knows that the weather is weird, so it's not very hard to convince people that, yeah, weather is definitely number one of the operations behind the chemtrails and ionospheric heater technology. And I see it as all one technology. So that's the first operation. Environmental modification fits with that. And I think you saw that in Katrina. And also Sandy, let's look at it more thoroughly. Katrina had to do with one of the international ports of the U.S., the Mississippi River port down in New Orleans. And not, you know, it it was almost dovetailed with the so-called British Petroleum disaster down there, after which Core Exit, another chemical, a bacteria-eating chemical, was put into the water, and it's practically changed the entire shoreline as salt domes and various things fall apart down there. So environmental modification goes hand in glove with weather modification, with weather engineering. We saw the same thing in Sandy, because you have the Port of New York and the Port of New Jersey, both international ports, and the first thing that happened is all the poor people were shoved out of their homes, and their real estate was sold for a song to big developers, and now that port is being restructured. So this is not hard to see. The second operation is sheer electromagnetic operations, and that entails, this is how the HARP technology or the ionospheric technology works, to draw down charged particles from the ionosphere into the upper atmosphere and then down into the lower atmosphere via dropping conductive heavy metal nanoparticulates as spreading, and mostly that includes barium, aluminum, and strontium. And this makes our atmosphere highly conductive. And I think you'll put it together when you listen to people this summer, last summer, and several summers before, who often will say, "Oh, it's so hot today. I mean, I feel like I'm in a microwave oven." And in a way, that's exactly what people are in. We are in a microwave oven, particularly when it's summertime. The third operation is military operations, and that is, those are multiple. I could go on and on about that, and I will be going on and on about it in the next book on the space fence. And this includes from refueling low-orbiting platforms to space operations like the space fence that I am writing about now. The space fence, just to give you an idea, is replacing the old ground-based missile system. And what this means is we have entered the space age, and they had the space fence up and running, and then, like HARP, they shut it down for a while and retooled it to a digital format from an analog format. And with the space fence, is sort of like what Edward Snowden, I believe, tried to tell us but didn't. He told us old news that our phones were being tapped, et cetera. But the new news is that the space fence will be surveillance on steroids. And what we need to really define and expand upon is what surveillance really means. So the fourth operation will be the biological chemical operations, and that includes the biotechnical delivery of biowarfare components via nanotech, and it goes all the way to those nanobots that we're breathing in, swimming in our bloodstream, and bypassing the blood-brain barrier in our brains and being remotely communicated with, either by other nanobots or by some guy with his laptop sitting in Denver. This is the ultimate control of human behavior in large populations as well as in individuals. And the question you asked me a while ago, yes, by means of frequency and pulses, when you have an ionized atmosphere, a battery-ready atmosphere at your fingertips, you can pulse a particular frequency to an entire population, say New York City or San Francisco or London. You can pulse a behavior, and perhaps you have distributed lithium, which we all know is a calmant. So In my opinion, the future, when these globalists are looking at the future, they are looking for ways to control populations and make what they like to call a peaceful world. It's sort of like in 1984, they had those banners all over. War is peace. Truth is lies. Love is hate. So everything's being turned on its head. The fifth operation is the planetary geophysical operation. This would include Earth changes. Now, certainly we have solar flares coming in from the sun. We have coronal mass ejections or CMEs catapulting toward the Earth because of all the way from radiation. When we were bombing, we were detonating nuclear bombs in the Van Allen belts in the 50s, to all the nuclear detonations we have done since in the atmosphere, upper and lower, and then couple that with the solar flares, couple it with harp making the ionosphere look like Swiss cheese, the ionosphere being part of our magnetosphere, which was our protection against CMEs and solar flares. You put all this together, and you are going to have Earth changes. So part of what's going on with the chemtrails ionospheric heater technology is to ameliorate some of the damage that has already been done, and possibly utilizing some of those solar flare and CME rhythms that we have always been subject to, taking advantage of those and maybe ramping up some of the technology to do something or other or see what happens, et cetera. So that's how I think of planetary geophysical operations. It could also, because of the tomography capabilities in these ionospheric heaters, you could stimulate volcanic activity. And in a way, we're seeing some of that now in the Pacific Rim of Fire. Volcanoes are happening all over the place. So this is a big toy. Big toy.
Alana, you mentioned before, and I hate to interrupt you, you said that that you didn't think that the chemtrails and had anything to do with the ultimate doom of the human species as a way to kill. But do you think that chemtrails has a connection with the depleting bee population?
Depleting the what?
The bee population.
Bees, birds, whales, I mean, all of these marvelous species, how do they navigate? They navigate magnetically. And what's going on magnetically? Why? I mean, the atmosphere is totally ionized now, and the U.S. Navy is psychopathic. They're doing things it's like a heyday for electromagnetics. And that's what I mean, by the way, by entitling my book, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum of Dominance. Full Spectrum Dominance is referring to a military doctrine which is all about not just full spectrum dominance of the political sphere or the geopolitical sphere, it's full spectrum dominance of the electromagnetic sphere. This is how not only will they be able to control our minds, not only will they be able to control populations. Imagine you could wipe out an entire species and then get some of their DNA and pump it back into your science system and create the species again. I mean, why not?
It's like the days of Noah rehappened, you know?
Yes, Yes, it is. And so let me get in those two others that I wanted, operations. They're very important, too. And the sixth operation is, as Edward Snowden told us, intelligence and surveillance for the sake of C4, command, control, communications, and cyber warfare. And included in that will be virtual warfare. And when I say virtual, we're talking about holography. We're talking about Jesus and Mary being in the sky. We're talking about a full-on alien invasion in the sky, holographic, that we can't tell the difference between that and what's real. And you're talking about mind control. And in this next book, I'm going to go very thoroughly into exactly how this mind control is going to be done on a neighborhood level, because they have sold us a bill of goods with the cell phones, which, by the way, I do not own a cell phone, because they've put up all these cell towers to back up all the Gwen towers from the 80s, the ground wave emergency network towers, and go with the NEXRADs that are all used to steer storms terrestrially here in the States, and the SBXs, which are these big golf ball looking radon units off of all shores around the world. And you know, 3 days before Fukushima happened, we had a big old SBX right off the shore there in Japan. So this intelligence surveillance, you got to expand it out, not just think, oh gee, my phone's being tapped. Oh gee, you know, they know what I'm looking at on the internet. It's way beyond that, So we need to really, you know, I always recommend to people to start with this book, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance, because in that you'll see the big picture and how all the pieces fit together. Now, the seventh is Clifford Carnicom and I came up with together, and the seventh is detection and obscuration of exotic propulsion systems. And when I say that, I am thinking in part of, you know, it's like we used to have the SR-71, the Blackbird that belonged to the CIA. We then know that we had the Aurora, which is a triangular, quite sleek ship with tremendous cloaking capability. But we're also thinking of vectored craft, I like to call them, electromagnetic disc technology, UFOs as they're called. These can be ours, and we certainly do have them. There's no question in my mind. We've had them because that's one of the big reasons we brought all those Nazis over under Operation Paperclip back in the 50s. And scrub their records and put them in all of our major institutions. It's just a tragedy,
And when
to
we
me,
do that,
I would say that is number one to understanding what has happened to this once relatively great nation. So if you think about it, you look up at all the chemtrail created artificial cloud cover, that's Cirrus cloud cover, some of it has several layers. When I was flying to Toronto and back, I gave a talk there on chemtrails at the University of Toronto a couple months ago. I was trying to count the number of layers of chemtrails. I counted seven at an altitude of 35,000. So, you know, in that cloud cover, you could obscure something quite well. And if you were looking for an infrared-based craft, a vectored craft coming from perhaps another dimension, it would definitely be, you would be able to see it in the infrared, I believe. Then, you know, this ionized atmosphere would really serve you well. You could just zap it with a little radio frequency, maybe with some IR, and see, lo and behold, there's an infrared craft. So these are the kinds of ideas that we need to really expand our horizons into and think about because we are living in a space age. There is no question in my mind that space wars are going on high above us. I don't know if it's with Russia or China or some sort of vectored crafts from another dimension. You know, we have to rethink everything. We have to, just like our health, we've got to rethink our health. We've got to rethink our symptoms and what the doctors are telling us. All of this has to be rethought. But lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, not one of these conferences on climate change and geoengineering and global warming, not one of them ever mentions military agendas. The elephant in the living room is loud simply by the fact that it is never mentioned. So, yeah, that's how I see it.
Now, Elena, we're out of time. Unfortunately, I could talk to you all night about this. It's very important stuff. Now, for my audience, where could we pick up your book and also learn more about you?
Well, the book can be purchased from Amazon. You can also ask your local bookstore to pick it up. There are over 100 distributors around the world that can get it. And then donate it to your library so people with less resources can read it. I recommend to people, if you want more information on this, I have a Facebook page dedicated to the book. Just contact me, Ilana Freeland, on my Facebook page and figure out how to be a member. I don't know how you do it because I didn't have to do it. And I will include you if I look at your Facebook page and decide that you look like you're a serious-minded individual. My background, I have a master's in historiography, so I'm a really good researcher. I've learned how to do it. And I have a biology background in my undergraduate days, but I'm back into biology, and I'm even reading books on plasma physics now. I never thought I'd be doing that, but I am doing that because this is big.
I agree with you, and I think that you're onto something here. I really do, and I want you to keep the fight going and bring it to people's minds and letting them know that this is really happening, and you couldn't ask for anything better than that. I say that all the time on here, but you really can't.
No, I agree. I mean, people ask me, what should we do? What should we do? You know, wringing their hands. First of all, don't be afraid. That's not going to help us. Educate yourselves. Living in a space age, educate yourselves. And prepare yourselves by taking care of your health and the health of your children and your families.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Lauren. Hope I'll catch you on the flip side whenever your new book comes out.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good night. Chemtrails and HARP. Weather manipulation. I think it happens every day. Until next week, don't strange surrounding. See your universe.
Early one morning past the St. James Hospital. Early one morning, morning the month of May, when I looked through the window and espied a dear cowboy, a dear cowboy as cold as the clay. Sit ye down by me and hear my sad story. Sit ye down by me and sing me a song. For my poor head is aching and my sad heart is breaking. I'm a poor cowboy that knowed it done wrong. Send for that doctor to come and heal up my body, and send for the preacher to come and pray for my soul. For my poor head is aching and my sad heart is breaking. I'm a poor cowboy and hell is my doom.